Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, that's just a little summary of Moses. Okay. And we know that Moses is a great man. Amen. Yeah, it's from
Amen.
Him. Yes, we learned so much from him. He was a person that was so close to God. And he reasoned with God, just like how we would reason one with another. You know, some things that he would say to God, maybe would be afraid to say it. But Moses was not afraid to stand before God and say the way he feels. You know, he wasn't afraid to speak his thoughts to God. Because in the first place, God knows everything. So why hide anything from him? You know, so Moses might be the most, might be in a well-known character. The most well-known character from the Bible, rather. You know, well-known, everybody of the Christian faith. Even if you're not a Christian, you know, from other religion as well, they recognize Moses, you know. Yes, as a great man of God. Moses is a key figure in Christianity. And he's known for his role as a prophet. He was a prophet. He was a lawgiver from God. He was a leader, very good leader. His life marked by divine encounters and miracles. It raised many questions among Christians about the relationship with God and his significance in foreshadowing Christ. You know, so you do like in-depth Bible study, you'd learn that Moses is a type of Christ. That's like a typology. If you do like typology, the subject typology, it would refer to Moses as being a type of Christ. You know, he was the one that led the children of Israel through the wilderness, and you know, was he did it mightily by God leading him, of course. You know, Moses was an Hebrew. He was born of Abram and Jochebed, both from this tribe of Levi. During the time of the children of Israel, lived in Egypt as slaves. They lived in Egypt as slaves. You know, he was the youngest of three children. His sister's name was
Miriam,
and his brother's name was Aaron.
Aaron.
Yes, he was considered an Israelite. Right? Moses was born during the time when Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh is not one person. He's like the king. So one succeeded another. So Pharaoh is not just one person.
Fear.
You have one Pharaoh take over from another Pharaoh. So that's how they refer to the kings during that time. You know. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So yeah, this Pharaoh take over. Next Pharaoh take over. So Pharaoh is like a progression of people, succession of people. You know. Pharaoh now.
Yes.
Pharaoh was afraid because the Israelites, they were multiplying in Egypt. They were too much of a great impact on Egypt. So Pharaoh didn't want any more male child to born in Egypt. You know, so he sent out a law to all the midwives in Egypt, telling them to whenever a male child is born from now on, they must do away with that birth. You know, they must kill him, kill all the babies, all the boy babies, only the girls will live. You know, so Moses' mother at that time was pregnant with Moses, of course. And when Moses was born, she saw that Moses was a special baby. You know, and she hid him. Yeah, she hid him. There was something about Moses that was different. Yes, and he was the last one to, you know. He was the last one of from Miriam and Aaron. Yeah, Moses was the last one, but the mother sees something different with this Moses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she hid him for three long months. She
yes.
hid him, and then she couldn't continue hiding him anymore. So she made a little boat. Must have been some inspiration from God himself. Inspired by God, she made a little boat, and she placed Moses on that boat and hid Moses in the reed along the banks of River Nile. Yes, put him right on the banks of River Nile. And he stayed there long. He stayed there, you know, he stayed there not so long enough for him to be rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah, he was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. She came down to the River Nile to maybe shower or whatever she come to do at the River Nile along with her maids. And they saw this little baby in this little basket. And they rescued him. They didn't kill him as our father would want them to do. But she rescued him, and she employed from among the Hebrew women at one of the women that would take care of Moses. And guess who that person was?
The very mother
of Moses. So that must be a divine interception right there. The mother herself, yes, took care of Moses. You know, so that's like purpose right there. You know, the mother took care of Moses. After Moses was weaned, after the mother stopped breastfeeding Moses and whatever, Moses could stand on his own, Pharaoh's daughter raised him in the palace, surrounded by the luxuries of Egypt. And you know, Egypt had a lot of gold. It was a very rich place. You know, they had enough there. And you know, one of the persons that helped to set up Egypt for victory was our own Joseph, you know, when he was second in command to Pharaoh down in Egypt there. And he was the one who took over the tribe of Israel to come down to Egypt there when they had famine in the land that they were. And they stayed there in Egypt, you know. So, yes, it was a luxurious place. So Moses grew up in the palace, but he knew he was a Hebrew because he felt different. And he know, you know, he know within himself that he's an Hebrew. You know, he's not one of the Egyptians. He doesn't look nor feel like an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew, and he identified himself. And you know what the Hebrew were in that time. The Hebrew were slaves in Egypt. Yeah, they were slaves in Egypt. And this was young Moses in the palace, lived in the palace. He didn't live in the tents of the Hebrews, but he lived in the palace where Pharaoh, the very king himself, lived. You know, and he was there, but he knew that he didn't belong there. He belonged to his tribe of people that were the Hebrews, the ones that were slaved and stuff. You know, and one day, as we read the story of Moses, we see where the Egyptian was in some type of fight with an Hebrew. And Moses looked and realized that the Egyptian was being unfair to the Hebrew, because the Egyptian lord over them, you know, the Egyptian would rule the Hebrew because they were slaves. And Moses looked around, he saw that no one was looking, and he killed that Egyptian. You know, he killed that Egyptian and hid that Egyptian body under the sand. He hid him under the sand. Maybe that wasn't such a good idea for him to hide the Egyptian under the sun and stuff. You know, but according to the scripture, if we look at Exodus 2, verse 13 to 14, we see the next day two Hebrew were fighting. Not a Hebrew with an Egyptian now, you know, but two Hebrew, that is two of his own kind. Two of his own kind, his own people. They were fighting. And he look and see the one that was wrong, and he begins like to reprimand that person, and they said, One of them said to him, say, are you going to kill us like what you did with the Egyptian yesterday? You know? Yes. And then Moses realized that the thing was known in Egypt that he killed one of the Egyptians. So not long after that, yes, somebody is talking on the line. Hope that person will just mute their phone. Yes. So Moses didn't know that Egypt, that Pharaoh had known about what was happening. So Moses now learned of it. He fled into Midian. He fled from there into Midian, to dwell into Midian. And he, you know, because Pharaoh now would be looking for him to kill him, having done that thing with the his own Egyptian. You know, so, yes. So he sat at a well in Midian. Yeah. You know, he sat there, yes. He sat there at a well, and while he was at that well, I just giving you the story as it unfolds coming down, you know. So let you see how the mighty hand of God delivers, and he's able to deliver us today. You see, he's the same God of Moses, and he's the same God that is able to deliver us now. And as I was looking at this story, I recognize that we as a people are in this same type of settings, you know, where God is leading us into a promised land. Just like how God was leading the children of Israel into the promised land, is the same way he's leading us into the promised land now, the place where he has prepared for us, heaven. He has made heaven for us, the New Jerusalem, and he's leading us just the same as how he was leading the Israelites through the wilderness. We are going through, you may not see it, but we are going through a wilderness experience even now. And we are being rebellious, just like the Egyptians, just like the Israelites were. We are just as rebellious as them. We are just as stiff-necked as they were. You know, we are just as set in our ways, just like they were back then. You know, and Moses was the one then who interceded for these, for these Israelites. He interceded for them. He plead for them night and day. And it's just the same way now. Jesus Christ is pleading for us as we go through, as we go over each hurdles every day. Amen. Yes. Amen. So Moses now sitting at that well, he saw the priest of Midian, seven daughters. The priest of Midian, seven daughters, they came to draw water from the well to feed their flock. And some shepherds were there, came there as well, and would force the daughters away, drove them away. But Moses stood and helped them and get water for their father's flock. You know, and when Moses, that's Jethro, that's the Midianite, Jethro, the Midianite priest, when he learned of what Moses did, he sent his daughter to call the gentleman who helped them to draw water, because they returned quickly. Yes, and invite him up to the house to have a meal with them. And then he realized from that conversation who Moses was. And he not only did he employ Moses as a shepherd, you know, not only did he employ Moses as a shepherd, but he also gave him one of his daughter to marry to. Yeah. Yes, he also gave him one of his daughter to marry to. And stuff. Zipporah. Yes, he gave Moses Zipporah as a wife to marry to. You know, the grace of God was upon Moses, even in his condition of as being a murderer. He was then a murderer because he murdered the Egyptian, and he's now a shepherd boy in Midian, you know, and in a desert. It's a deserted area, and that is why you're referring to coming up on the backside of the mountain. You know, Moses being in the he like cast off in the mountain. He was there, and it was then that he heard the voice of God.
The voice of God.
Yes, that it was then when he heard the voice of God, not in the crowd, when he was in Egypt. You know, we did not have any mention of him being like a God-fearing person back then in Egypt. You know, because, you know, Egypt represents sin, you know. Egypt is a type of sin. And we did not have any mention of Moses being like that God-fearing person when he was among the Pharaohs, or when he was among that type of setting in Egypt. But no. When Moses being in the desert by himself, attending to the sheep, you know, it was then that he saw the burning bush, you know, and what marveled Moses about that burning bush is that even though the bush, it was fire, it was like fire burning, but the bush wasn't consumed with the fire.
No.
Yes, it wasn't consumed with the fire, so that kind of... That kind of startled Moses in such a way that he wanted to investigate exactly what was happening. He had that courage or that determination to find out what's the source of what he was witnessing then. You know, and as he come up to the burning bush, hallelujah, as he come to the burning bush, God called out to him from the bush and instructed him to remove his sandals.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. He instructed him to remove his sandals as the ground that he's now standing on is holy ground because the presence of Almighty God is there. Yes. So God revealed himself to Moses in that burning bush, in the backside of the mountain. Hallelujah. In the deserted era. And God revealed himself to Moses and commissioned him to return to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of slavery and into the promised land. You know? Yes. So, yes.
I'm standing.
Yes. Yes, so yeah, we're trying to we're hearing some noise in the background, some television noise and stuff.
Yes, somebody have a TV on.
Yes, and yes, so if you have any noise in the background, if you could just mute your phone, so as not to disturb the meeting. All right, yes, so
how we can hear and until when you're ready to say something, then you know, unmute, because it's very disturbing.
Yes, all right, so it was then in that burning bush that Moses get a glimpse of who God is, and God would say to him that he's now commissioned him to return to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of slavery and into the promised land. And that must have been hard for Moses to digest at that time, you know, knowing that they are looking for him to either kill him or arrest him for the murder that he has committed. You know, so they're looking for him to kill him or to murder him or to lock him up for the murder that he has committed. You know, and God is now saying to him, go back to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of slavery and into the promised land. You know, so
it has great steam, yeah, the water.
Yes, so it must have been, yes, something, something for Moses to really think about what God has said to him to go back. You know, so the burning bush was a very fundamental moment in Moses' life, as you would have realized by now. It's very fundamental, and it's very significant as well. Just like you and I, when we got saved, we came face to face with Jesus, and our sins were magnified then. You know, and then we realized that we could not save ourselves, and how much we need Jesus. At that point in our life turns around and it becomes a significant part of our story. When that first day that we say yes to Christ, that first time that we say, yes, we're going to take up the cross and follow Christ. The first time that we make that first commitment and our life has turned around and we see a difference now in the way that we're going. It's like a memorial to us when we see how God has been shedding off the load that we have been carrying over the years. When we see how he has been shedding off our custom, the things that we were accustomed to. We see how God shedding them off one by one, taking them away from us. And the desires
Amen.
For them.
Amen.
Yes, the desires for them, we have it no more. You know, we don't have any desires for the things that we used to do anymore. It's like a new beginning. And though at first, maybe you're not able to explain it to anyone, what you have been through, the turnaround that you have now experienced. Maybe you're not able to explain it to anyone, but you know that within yourself there's a memorial of the things that had transpired, the transaction that was done. There's a memorial of it in your heart. You know what the Lord has saved you from. Sometimes you cannot explain it in depth, or the very cases are step by step what has taken place or what has happened. But you know within yourself that who you used to be, you are no more. You are now a different, you are now a born again person. You know, and that is one of the things. That's why you see, we always sing this song, "Lest I Forget Gethsemane, lead me back to Calvary." You know, lead me back to Calvary. So it's like each time you transgress as a Christian, each time you sin as a Christian, you just want God to lead you back. You just want to be led back to Calvary. You know? Yeah, because you always want to go back to that point where you make that first commitment to God. That first commitment where you experience him as the Lord of your life. You know, where you experience that transforming power. That's where you always want to return. Whenever you find yourself in any difficulties, or whenever you find yourself where your faith is wavering, just go back to Calvary.
Amen.
Yeah, just go back to Calvary. Just go back to where you make that first commitment.
Don't forget Gethsemane.
Yes, do not forget Gethsemane. Just go back to Calvary. Because that's where you're going to get back your strength. The only way up is the Christian faith, is to go down. The deeper you go,
Amen.
The higher you will go up. You know, back to Calvary. Make some adjustment. Make Christ make some adjustment to your life right there and then, so you can be empowered. And because that is the fundamental moment of our Christian journey. That first time that we say yes to Christ, it must have been something in you that has given. You know, something in you has given in order for you to receive. Because if you have your cup full of water, there's no more room for no more water in that cup. You have to empty that cup first. So that's the place where you were emptied and where Christ now begin to flow in you. Yeah, when he begin to fill you up and to flow in and through you. You know, so that's very significant. So Moses' significant part was the part where he saw that burning bush. So no matter what anyone could tell Moses, or anyone could say to anyone could say anything to Moses, he know what he know, because he had been there and saw that burning bush. He was the only one that was there. We don't have any record in scripture that anyone else saw it other than Moses, when he saw that burning bush and stuff, you know, by himself. And when God said to him, take off your sandals, because where you are, man, is holy ground. So he heard that voice. He heard that voice speaking to him and stuff. So when God tell him to go into Egypt to get out the Israelites from out of Egypt, even though maybe he had some reservations, but he know that the God who he have seen burning in the bushes and without the bushes being consumed, you know, the one who told him audibly to take the shoes off your feet, because the ground that you're now standing on is holy ground, that God is able to take him into Egypt, back into Egypt, and to deliver his people from out of Egypt. But mind you, it didn't come easy for Moses, because then Moses would want to question God and say, God, you know that I'm slow of speech. I cannot even speak. You know, what am I going to say? You know, what am I going to say to Pharaoh? Because I can't even speak. I can't even, I don't know if he was stuttering or if he had some speech impediment, or he was just dark. Yes. Yeah, or he was just dark, like some of us, just dark and shy, you know, like how some of us would be, dark or shy or whatever. But Moses said that he cannot speak.
But me.
Moses said he cannot speak and stuff. But no matter what excuses you're trying to make, God already have the final say. No matter what excuses you and I may try to make, God has the final say, because God knows the very end from the very beginning. God knows the way in which he would lead you through. And once there is a will, there is a way. Once God has commanded you, he has already made the way straight for you, so you can just follow. All you and I need to do is just to heal. It's just to heal our life to him. Because whatever God says, it's going to come true. So don't back up and try to go around and beat around the bushes and tell God how inadequate you may be. When God gives you a command to do something, he has already made a way for you to do it. All the provisions are there. All the provisions are there. If you have an assignment where you're locked the resources, or you're locked the provision, you have to consider whether or not that assignment is from God. Because whenever God gives you an assignment, God provide for that assignment. He equip the call. But whenever God calls you to do something, he equip you to do it. He equips the call. You know, it may not. Sometimes God will give you an instruction with a destination. Understand what I'm saying, you know, people of God. Sometimes God will give you an instruction with a destination, but he doesn't necessarily tell you the intricacies of what you will go through to end up at that destination. But as you start to walk off, as you start to go, God provide for you daily as you need, right through and through. He's not going to give you the whole 9 yard one time, but no, as you go, he gives you as you need it.
Piece by piece,
as you need it, as you need it. As you go, he provides. As you go, he leads. As you go, you follow him. All right. God is one that we have to follow. It's not one that we need to go before him and look up in his face. You remember Moses asked God, you know, show me your glory. Moses wanted to see God's face, and God said, no, you cannot do it, because no one can see my face and live. You can't see my face and live. As long as we are in this flesh, as long as we are going into the promised land that God has for us, we have to remain behind God. We have to only see his backside. We only have to see his backside, the backside of him. We cannot face him face to face.
Hallelujah.
We have to remain behind him. We have to see his backside. That is why God said to Moses, you cannot see my face and live. You have to stay behind me. So God kept Moses in the cleft of the rock. God kept Moses in the cleft of the rock and covered Moses there with his hands. Yeah, he covered Moses in the cleft of the rock with his hands. And when he had passed by, that was then he removed his hands from Moses' eyes, so Moses could see his backside, so Moses could then follow him. It's not for Moses to see his face, because then you're going to turn around the whole arithmetic to in your favor, because then you'd be like God leading. You know, you have to remain behind him. Amen. Yes. Yes. As we look at the life of Moses, we're going to realize some significant things that we ought to really adhere to if we need to press on the walk of faith that we are in.
Oh, God.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Yes. Mm. So that first encounter, I want to stick at this long enough, so that you can understand the first encounter, how important it is when you have that first encounter with God. It means a lot. It cannot grow cold. Your testimony of your salvation cannot go cold, because that is the point where you have met with the Savior. That is the point where you have breached your alabaster box. That is the point that you have let out the ointment that cost you so much. That is the point that you say, like Apostle Paul, that whatever thought was gain to me, I count it now but loss. And I may win Christ. Yes, that was the point of which you say yes to Christ. That was the point of which you say you have no more glory in your flesh, but you want a real transformation. You recognize that where you are now is not profitable anymore, because the veil has now removed from your eyes and you can see clearly now, and you are now embracing the cross. Amen. So that point in your life that when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's inside of you as a memorial. And even when you just wake up, you should be able to remember that moment when you say yes to Christ. When you say yes to Him, because it's a transforming moment. It's an atmosphere changing moment where the atmosphere around you change. You know, the entire atmosphere around you change. And it's by faith. It's by faith. You have to accept it by faith, that transforming moment by faith. And then you realize that 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things become new. You are a new creature, a new creation right now. Everything become new. You know, a newness has taken over your life. Yeah, a newness has taken over. And it's like, even though at times, sometimes, you know what you have been through, the people of God, but you cannot, sometimes you cannot readily explain it to anyone, what you have been through, but you hold on to it. But you need no further question, no further argument. You know, you reach a point where you say it is enough that Jesus died and that He died for you, and His resurrection has made a difference in your life right now. And it's no more you that live. You say, like Apostle Paul, but I am crucified with Christ. You know, yes, like yes, Apostle yes. Paul, when Apostle Paul reached that pivotal moment, that turning point, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the life that I now live, I live in faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. And now He's a new creature, you know. So Moses had that first encounter, that direct encounter with God. God manifests, yes, in the burning bush. That was a turning point, and setting him on a path of leadership and priesthood. You cannot lead people of God unless you come in contact with God Himself. No way can be an effective leader unless you first met the master of leadership. So it was that point that he get his prophethood, his leadership skills, and his prophethood, because he's going to speak the very mind of Christ. A prophet is one who speaks the mind of God in us. Yeah, a prophet is one who speaks the very mind of God. You know, so Moses, a prophet, a great leader. And here's the thing. Moses now going back to Egypt to set Pharaoh. The people, to get the people out of Egypt, the Israelites out of Egypt, so that they can worship. And you know why? God give Moses that assignment. God gave Moses that assignment so that, because God has heard the cry of the Israelites in Egypt. He has heard them praying for a Redeemer. He's heard them praying for a salvation, for salvation, somebody to save them, to take them out of this slavery. It is too much to bear. You know, they're saying that it's too much to bear. We need a difference. We need something more than what we are experiencing now. And God heard their cry. And God sent Moses. Yes, God sent Moses to get them out. So when you and I cry out to God from our situation or from our circumstances, God is able to hear us and to send a redeemer, someone to get us out of that situation. You know, someone, a redeemer, yes, to get us out of what we are going through. So don't be dismayed. Don't be cast down. Just make your request. Be made known unto God. Let him know, and he's able to deliver you and I from anything that we're going through. And hear what? God would have Aaron, that's Moses' brother, to be Moses' mouthpiece. Aaron now would speak to Pharaoh, because Moses was deaf or shy, or he had a speech impediment or whatever. Stutter, whatever. Yes, but God would have yes, God would have Aaron set up waiting for Moses back in Egypt, to be the mouthpiece. And it's as if when God was speaking, to Moses, he was equipping Aaron as well, because the Bible said that Aaron met him. Aaron met him on his way to Egypt. Moses on his way to Egypt. How did Aaron know that Moses was coming back at a time like now? Did he have a cell phone? Did he have a television or some news to say? But God himself act as a mediator right there and then, and prepare Aaron to go meet your brother Moses and take him in. I don't know if at that time the Pharaoh that was in Egypt was the same one that was looking for Moses to kill him. It could have been a different Pharaoh that has risen up now. You know?
Could be.
Yes. But God would have, when God tells you his plan of what he's going to do, he tells you all the interesting part of it, he will tell you. He's not going to give you every detail of it, detail by detail, but he's going to give you all the interesting parts. He tell Moses that the plagues that he's about to throw down on Egypt, that Pharaoh is going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So Moses didn't disturb Moses' spirit that Pharaoh didn't let the people go at his first plague. You know, yes, it didn't disturb his spirit or cause him to lock his faith in God or his trust in God. But because God already told him, has already prepared him that he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart and stuff. So it didn't surprise Moses that Pharaoh didn't release the people at the first plague that was done. And you know, the first plague was, you remember the first plague?
He turned water into blood.
Yes, he turned water into blood. The River Nile and all the water sources in Egypt turn into blood, kill all the fishes and make the water undrinkable. You can imagine, all the fishes die. And you know, fish might be one of their means of protein or whatever they would eat. Yes, and all of them died. So their food gone. They had no food. Pharaoh had no big fish in his plate anymore. Pharaoh had no big fish in his plate anymore. And not only that, but he had no water to drink anymore, because everything turned blood. What a plague that is. And that plague happened, you know, and that's Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. He didn't let the people of God go to worship him God in the wilderness, but he kept them same way under bondage. And Pharaoh called his magicians. So Pharaoh called his magician or his obeah man or whatever and said, come look at what this Moses is doing on Aaron right here. They drop their rod on the ground and stretch it over the water and it turned blood and whatever. And the magician take their rod and they did the same thing too and it turned into blood. Yeah, the magician got some water and they put wave their rod over it and it turned into blood. Just like what Mary, just like what Moses' rod did. Amen. If it was some simple people like you and I, maybe we would have been discouraged from that and said, no, sir. Imagine a thing like that happened. But one thing encouraged Moses then. One thing encouraged Moses and Aaron then. It was when all the rods, when his rod, when Aaron rod that budded, that when it swallowed up, yeah, when it swallowed up all the magician's rod.
Yeah, fancy.
Yeah, it swallowed up all their rods and stuff. It turned into snake and it swallowed up all of their rods.
What a hard man.
Yeah, it swallowed all of their rods. And still, Pharaoh was very, his heart was very hard. And he didn't want to turn. He didn't want to let the people of God go. Still, that coming like, and the magicians around him give him so much comfort that he feel like he don't need to. He don't need to abide. He don't need to listen to the word of God because he has his magicians around. But we're gonna see next week or the coming weeks, God's willing, what is gonna happen there as Moses would redeem God's people from Egypt. Yes, you know, or as we take them out of bondage. You know, we're going on, and I hope as we do this study, it will really see Christ as our salvation. You know, it will really let us see the Savior that we have through this study of Moses. You know, it would really see how forgiving and how long-suffering he is, waiting on us to come to him. You know, and you know, I just trust and pray that God will really use his word, because he said in his word that his word won't return to him void, but it will accomplish his purpose.
That which he pleases.
Oh, yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna stick up in there for this week. It's already 9:05. Time just fly. And welcome to the new month of February. This is 1st of February. Can't believe that the time has gone so, the days gone so much already. It was just New Year's and now we are in the second month of the new year. You know, so we give God thanks, we give him praise. He said in his word that he will shorten the days for the elect's sake. You know, he will shorten the days for the elect's sake and stuff. But yeah, so we give God thanks. And as Elder Edwards would prepare to close up for us in prayer, I want to again welcome all our first-time visitors with us today and pray God's blessing upon you and your whole soul, and that indeed you will come back again to join us, because we have a good thing going on every week, 1 hour. You know, that's not too much asking. Just 1 hour once a week, you know, and I know that those that have been on here from the beginning has benefited, you know, and we give God thanks every week. You know, I want to welcome Brother Andrew. Yes, Brother Andrew. Yeah.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, bless the Lord, Brother Andrew. I'm so happy you accepted the invite. Man, you should have been here from I think it was January, but you had some technical difficulties, but nothing happens before the time, brother. And I pray that this study will really, really strengthen you as you endeavor to do well. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I thought I see Brother Williamson here earlier on. Brother Williamson maybe has left. already and stuff. But and everyone here, I don't see any other first time with us. We just welcome you all who are here. Just welcome you, Sister Elder Edwards.
Praise the Lord, Saint.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Elder.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Indeed, the presence of the Lord is here.
Hallelujah.
With his permission, just let us release our mic and just send up a minute of praise. Hallelujah. Because the presence of the Lord is here.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Hallelujah. In your presence, God, there is peace of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Almighty God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Almighty God, for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that your presence has been felt on the platform tonight. And so we just give you glory. We give you praise. Father God, we thank you for your word tonight, Almighty God. Lord God, and even as you use your my servant as your mouth, my God Almighty, we thank you for every word that you have spoken through him tonight. Jesus. Thank you for the edification. Yes, thank you, Lord, for the reminder. Oh, yes. God Almighty, and your word tonight us. And so we can say, Lord God, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank
Hallelujah.
You for your nail-pierced hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
So you came and gave amazing grace.
Hallelujah.
And so tonight, God, we just want to thank you for the reminder that whenever we seem to falter, whenever our feet want to stray, God, we should just remember the foot of the cross, where we should lay down all our sins, all our burdens. My God, so tonight, we just give you praise, we give you honor, we worship you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. My God Almighty, for the idea which was planted in the heart of your servant. God, so that this platform can come about where we can study your word, where we can be reminded of your word, where our spirit can be lifted in your word, God, where we can give you praise and glory and honor, because your word has spoken to us. So, Father, go from week to week, mighty God, and your word has been brought to our attention. I pray, Almighty God, that you will write it on the tables of our heart in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Father, like the psalmist says, thy word have I hidden in my heart so that I will not
sin.
Help us, God, to hide your word as it is
written
upon us. And when temptations come upon us, when the devil wants to show his fiery darts in our direction, remind us of your word, Almighty God, where we can find comfort and solace, where we can find the weapon to overcome the plans of the enemy in the name of Jesus. My God Almighty, tonight I thank you, Jesus, glory for this medium. Father God, I don't know about anybody else, but my spirit has been lifted.
There
has
been
because of your word. And I'm sure, God, that other persons that platform can testify. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
My God, I place tonight for you. Oh God Almighty,
A
committed man of God. My God, a humble servant. God.
Almighty
God, who sought after holiness, who sought after righteousness. My God, as the year panted after the water.
Hallelujah.
So help me, soul, God, to thirst after Jesus. My God, I pray that you will pour upon him your special anointing.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. God, to a higher place in you.
Thank
and he buries his deeper in you. Oh God Almighty, thank you for the lives that he has touched. My God Almighty,
Lord.
Thank you for the money. Thank you for the turnaround. My God, that you can take, hallelujah, his best and make them into message for the
kingdom.
Oh God Almighty, continue to pour into your man servant, Almighty God. I thank you for the ministry. I thank you for each person
who is on
platform tonight, Almighty God. I pray, God, that you will touch each home represented here.
In the name of
God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you will start to pull out some stuff that the enemy has set up your life. My God, I pray that the atmosphere around them will be changed and
charged.
Your Holy Spirit, Father, we invite you into our homes. We invite you into our lives.
Hallelujah.
Invite your Holy Spirit into our hearts tonight as we give you glory, as we give you honor. My God Almighty, Father, if there is one among us tonight who is unsaved, I pray for that connection. God, as your word goes forth tonight, God, we know that it will not come back to you null and void. So I pray, God, that even one will cry out. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God, that your presence is here. Thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is everywhere. Thank you, God, that you rest
Hallelujah.
God Almighty, upon this platform. God Almighty, and we thank you for the connectivity.
Hallelujah.
We lay it all down before you, and we pray, God, that you will connect us and help us follow.
In the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.